course, the parasha. First of all, the parasha which finally Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, and the entire drama that had been unfolding for the last few parashiot, from parashat Vayeshev, it peaks, it reaches its crescendo in the dramatic announcement that Yosef makes to his brothers when he says to them, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef, Ha'od Avichai. I started reinvestigating things that I said 30 years ago. Sometimes you have to go back and take a look. But only one little bit, and from there we're going to go on to the rest of the year. Number one, right after he reveals himself to his brothers, he says, Va'ata now lo atem shalachtem oti heino. You're not the ones who sent me here. He wants them not to be as terribly upset as they are. He says, this was not really you. This was all part of a divine plan. Ki ha'elokim. It was God who sent me here. Vayisimeni li'ov l'faro. He made, I'm a father to Paro. Odon l'chol beito. I'm a master of his whole house. U'moshel d'chol eretz b'schaim. And I rule over the whole land of Egypt. I mean, for something of this sort to take place, this certainly had to be directly the will of God. He wanted me here for that purpose. Maharuva Luelovi, hurry and go up to my father. And you should say to him, Ko Oma Bincho Yosef. So says your son Yosef. Samani Elokim Lo Adon Lechol Mitzchayim. God has made me a master of all of Egypt. Redoi Lai, come down to me. Al Tamo. Don't wait. Just come. Just come. So many years ago, I was. Oh, it's good when you can talk about many years ago. Many years ago, the Rashi here is very fascinating. Rashi says, "Va'alu el avi." You see, it's underlined over there. Hurry and go up to my father. Eretz Yisrael gevoa mikol ha'aratzot. Eretz Yisrael is higher than all of the lands. What does Rashi mean? I mean, obviously, Rashi is referring to the fact that he doesn't say journey to my father and tell him to come. He uses the word va'alu and go up. Why go up? Why ascend? Because Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says it. Eretz Yisrael is gevor mikol haratzot. Eretz Yisrael is higher than all of the lands. Well, whichever way you want to understand it, higher geographically, higher topographically, if there's a word like that, higher spiritually, Eretz Yisrael gevor mikol haratzot. Rashi, by the way, is going to repeat this comment once in Sefer Shmos, once in Sefer Devarim, once in Yeshayahu chapter 30, I believe. And someday we will talk about why Rashi refers to this again and again. My question, what bothered me with this Rashi is, we needed to know this information all the way back in Parashat Lech Lecha. Avram comes to Eretz Yisrael, and it says, Vayehi Rov Baretz, there was a famine in the land. Vayered Avram Mitzrayma. Avram went down to Egypt. Wait a minute. What do you mean, went down to Egypt? Why doesn't it say, Vayelech or Vayisa Limitzrayim? Why does it say Vayeded Avram Mitzrayim? Avram went down to Mitzrayim. So Rashi should immediately have given us at that first place in all of Tanakh where the term Yechida is used with regard to going from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz, and then afterwards, when that episode in Mitzrayim is over, it says Vayal Avram, and Avram went up one of those places. Rashi should have said Eretz Yisrael Gavoa Mikol Haaretz, Eretz Yisrael is higher than all of the lands. And even if we go through the whole story of the brothers, they go down to Egypt to buy provisions. They go up from Egypt back. They come down again. At the very last pasuk in Parashat Miketz, after Binyamin is brought back and it is revealed, the frame up, that Binyamin is the one who stole the cup of Tzafnat Paneach. So Tzafnat Paneach says, that is Yosef, they say, listen, we will stay in his place. We will take his place in prison, send him home. The one who the cup was found in his hands, he will be a servant to me. You go up in peace to your father. We go up. And the whole beginning of this sedra, Yehuda stands there pleading for Binyamin. You told us, bring down the boy. We brought down the boy. How will we go up to our father and the boy isn't with us? Up, down, up, down. One time I counted about at least 20 places between Lech Lecha and now that up and down is used to describe journeying to Eretz Yisrael or from Eretz Yisrael. And what Rashi wakes up now. Rashi decides to make the comment, Eretz Yisrael, Gavar, Mikol HaRatzos, Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the lands. He wakes up and passes by Yigash. Where's Rashi been all of these weeks when we needed him so badly? So this brought me to the conclusion, it's not an astounding conclusion, Rashi's a genius. Rashi is magnificent. Rashi is exceptional. I don't have the words with which to describe Rashi. Rashi knows that he owes us an explanation for up and down. Rashi knows, but you know what? Rashi said, Chevre, Savlanot, just have a little patience. And you know what Rashi zeroes in and he focuses on? The most unusual place in all of Tanakh. You know that I like these broad statements, all-encompassing. The most unusual place in all of Tanakh where the term Alu is used. Why? Because this is the one place where we hear it coming from the Jew who has succeeded in Chutz Laretz beyond his wildest imagination. He's not driving a cab in Cairo. He's not a ma'avteach for a bank in Egypt someplace. This Yored, albeit, of course, he was not a Yored by choice. Yosef is taken down as a slave to Mitzrayim. Does he make it? This is a success story, unparalleled, unmatched. He's become the master of all of Egypt, the greatest empire of the ancient world. It's staggering when we think of the meteoric rise to power of Yosef. And you know what? When it comes out of his mouth, V'alu el Avi, that he sees Eretz Yisrael gavor mikol ha'aratzos, does it mean maybe he'd rather be a shepherd in Eretz Yisrael than a Mishneh l'melech in Mitzrayim? There's another point that I believe may bring Rashi to say it. Because here he uses the word maharu, hurry. Do you know how it would have been simplest for Yosef to say it? Maharu el avi, hurry to my father, who needed the word valu altogether. In this context, the word alu is unnecessary, completely unnecessary. All of the other places, you have to say a person was going from one place to the next. But here, especially since he's in a rush and he wants it to happen quickly, all he had to say was, Maharu Elavi, hurry to my father. But no. Yosef says, no, Maharu va'alu elavi, because he understands that going to my father is going up, because Eretz Yisrael is gavoa, mikol ha'aretzos. Rashi, and I've begun to develop over the years this idea that Rashi will not always tell us something that we have to know precisely when it should be said. He'll wait. He'll wait. One of my classic examples is in Parashat Shemot, Moshe Rabbeinu is at the snare, at the burning bush, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I'm going down to Egypt, and I'm going to bring the Jewish people out to Eretz Zavas Cholov Udvash, the land flowing with milk and honey. It's the first time that it appears in Torah. And by the way, it appears in Parashat Shemot twice, that Eretz Yisrael is described as Eretz Zavat Cholov Udvash. What do you mean it's flowing with milk and honey? What does it mean? And the fact is, what's most amazing is that Rashi doesn't explain what Zavas Cholov Udvash is. What does it mean, flowing with milk and honey? He doesn't say it in Shmos. It doesn't say it for Eira. And in Bo, at the end of the Sedra, again, Eretz Yisrael is described as Eretz Zavas Cholov Udvash. So Rashi says, I'm reading the Rashi in Parshat Bo. Cholov Zav min ha'izim. Milk flows from the goats. V'hadvash Zav min ha'tmarim. And the honey flows from the dates. U'min ha'te'enim. And from the figs. Rashi, why didn't you tell me the meaning of Zavas Cholov Udvash the first time it appeared in Torah, in Parshat Shemot? I believe with regard to this, there's something else. I think that the Torah wanted to point out to us, Rashi, the great Rebbe, wanted to point out to us that Moshe Rabbeinu was a mechanech par excellence. He was an educator of the highest order. Sure, God told him in Parshat Shemot at the snare, at the burning bush, that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Zavas Cholov Udvash, of land flowing with milk and honey. But you know what Moshe Rabbeinu understood? He understood that they would never be able to relate to that beautiful and powerful description of Eretz Yisrael as long as they're in Mitzrayim. While they're still enslaved, beaten day and night, it would be lost on them. They don't want to hear about lands flowing with milk and honey. We want out of here. Just remove a little bit of the burden from me. Just give me a half an hour break during the course of the day. They're not ready to hear these great ideas and these great descriptions of Eretz Yisrael. But the first moment at which they're ready to hear, right after they are out of Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim is part of their past, then he tells them, Zavas Cholov Udvash. And Rashi tells us, this is where Moshe says it to them, and this is where I'm going to explain it to you, because only now are you ready to hear it. The idea of readiness is true with everybody. We have to learn in the education of children readiness. They're not ready for everything. You understand? They're not ready for everything. Go try and make a guan out of a 3-year-old kid. Let the kid live. Zola Leiden, Zola Tansen and Lachman play ball. You know, you gotta take it easy. Go toilet train 1-year-old. There's readiness for everything. There's readiness. Moshe Rabbeinu understands that Klal Yisrael also have to reach the point of readiness. When they are ready to hear that beautiful description of Eretz Yisrael, then I'm going to tell it to them. There are other examples, but that's for another time. So here we have the great Rashi of Eretz Yisrael, Gavoa Mikol Ha'aretzos. Now, let's go to number 3, and then we're going to look at the Rashi on 2, Vayalu Mitzrayim. The brothers, finally, they go up from Egypt. Vayavohu Eretz Canaan, they came to the land of Canaan, El Yaakov Avim, to their father Yaakov. Vayagidu lo lemor, and they told him, watch, these psukim are so unusual and so exceptional. So unusual. And they told him, O Joseph Chai, Yosef is alive. He's the ruler over all of the land of Egypt. His heart was faint. Because he didn't believe them. What do you mean? His heart was faint. He didn't believe them. What do you mean he didn't believe them? How are we supposed to understand that he didn't believe them? What did he expect that... Yosef is alive! And then what's going to happen a few minutes later? They'll say, April Fool! April Fool! God, we were just kidding. Can't you take a joke? What do you mean, Lohem in Lohem? What do you mean he didn't believe them? They're telling him, oh, Yosef, hi! Yosef is alive! Are they fooling him? Are they playing a cruel, horrible game with his emotions? Of course not. Do you know what's happening over here in these psukim? They tell him Yosef is alive. And he's the ruler of all of Egypt. And Nebuch, his heart is faint because he thinks to himself, they. How does somebody become the ruler of a mighty empire like Egypt? Do you know how you become the ruler of a mighty empire? By killing, by murder, by stepping on people all over the place, by using your power and your might, your cruelty and your brutality. That's how you reach the top. You don't become the Don of all of the Egyptian empire because you're a nice boy. You get there because you know how to kill. You know how to terrorize. So Yaakov thinks to himself, vey. This is Yiddish and Nachas. This is Yiddish and Nachas. My son, you understand? My son, the killer. My son, the murderer. My son, this is the Yosef that I invested so much in. He believes them that Yosef is alive. Of course he believes them that Yosef is alive. You know what he doesn't believe? That this is his son Yosef. They said to him all of the words of Yosef that he had spoken to them. And he saw the wagons that Yosef had sent in which to bring him. And the spirit of Yaakov comes to life again. And the famous Rashi explains that he was sending him a coded message. The last thing that we learned before I disappeared was the parsha of Eglah Arufa. What is the parsha of Eglah Arufa? If a man is found dead someplace on a road in Eretz Yisrael, the Sanhedrin from Yerushalayim have to come and measure off to the closest city. The closest city, their leaders, the Kohanim, are going to have to go through a ceremony where they take an egel, they take a calf, they chop its head off, and they say, Yodeinu lo shafchu es hadam hazeh, our hands did not spill this blood. Do you know what Yosef is sending a message to Yaakov? I remember the last parsha we learned. I remember that the responsibility of leadership is to be clean, to make sure that nobody dies because of them. You think I became a killer? Oh, no. Not so. And therefore, Vayome Yisrael, all of a sudden, the next pasuk, he's no longer Yaakov, he is Yisrael. Do you know why all of a sudden he becomes Yisrael? Because Yaakov knew one thing, that he will be the father of a Jewish nation as long as all of his 12 children remain absolutely loyal to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Here for a moment,
Mr. Moment. For 22 years he didn't know what had happened to Yosef. For 22 years he lived with doubt. Maybe there aren't going to be 12, but there are supposed to be 12. And now he knows that the 12th is alive, but maybe the 12th has turned into an absolutely evil and wicked person. But he sees the Argolos. Yosef reminds him of the lesson that they learned. The great responsibility of leadership for the well-being of the people. Tata, I didn't hurt a hair on a human head in my rise to power. Vayomer Yisrael. Now he's Yisrael. He says, Rav, this is enough. Od Yosef Bini Chai. My son Yosef. Yiddish and Naches. That's the one who's alive. When, in the passage before, when it said that he didn't believe them, he believed them that Yosef was alive. They weren't playing a game with him. This wasn't April Fool. But you know what he was concerned about? That Nebuch, this Yosef, is nothing, not the boy that he raised, not the one that's going to be a pillar of the Jewish people. Aye, but when he sees that Yosef sends him that powerful message, Tata Leighton, oh, this is a whole story. This is the Rabbeinishim behind this. No, I didn't kill anybody. So then he says, O Yosef Bini Chai, Elcho Ve'erenu, I'm going to go and see him, B'terem Amut, before I die. You see, if you look back to the Psukim before the Pasuk of Ma'aru V'alu Elavi, hurry and go up to my father, V'amar to me, love, you should say to him, Ko Amar Bincha Yosef. I want you to get that point across. They may not have understood it as well as Yosef did, but when they tell him all Divrei Yosef, everything, then he sees, Od Yosef Bini Chai. Od Yosef Bini Chai. All right. Now begins the... this was the introduction, the prelude to the shir. He needed no Ruach HaKodesh whatsoever. One does not become the ruler of a mighty corrupt empire by being a nice guy. You're a Canadian, Michael, but we Americans know that nice guys end up last. You understand? Nice guys don't make their way to power. All you have to do is open up the papers here any day now, every day now, and you'll see nobody's terribly nice. Nobody's nice. It's a dog-eat-dog or a chaver-kneset-eat-chaver-kneset world out there, you understand? Some are going kadima, some are going achora, some are mavdaling around. We're going to have not a lot of fun over the next 2 months. Yosef understood, is this a normal story that Yosef becomes the master of all of Egypt? This is normal? This happens in real life? Or this happens only through divine intervention? What is a father supposed to think about a 17-year-old that went off or was taken off who knows where? No Ruach HaKodesh is necessary. Just a clear look at the situation. All right, let's go. Vayisa Yisrael, v'chol ha'shalom. Yisrael and all that belonged to him journeyed. Vayovo be'ir Oshava, he came to Be'er Shava. Vayizbach Zvachim, and he brought sacrifices l'lekei aviv Yitzchak, to the God of his father Yitzchak. Now, what's important over here is first of all that he stops in Be'er Shava, and we're going to have to ask ourselves the question: why does he stop in Be'er Shava? What is the significance of Be'er Shava? And of all things, whatever it was that he might have assumed about Be'er Sheva does indeed come true. Vayomer Elokim liYisrael, b'manot halayla, Elokim said to Yisrael in a vision at night, Anochi hakel Elokei avicha, I am the God of your father, al tira mirido mitzchaima. Don't be afraid of going down to Egypt. He is now the third.
Avram was told by God, Al Tira, don't be afraid. After his great victory against the four superpowers, God tells him, Al Tira, don't be afraid, because he understands that Avram is afraid that who knows what are going to be the repercussions and what kind of retaliation will there be. Yitzchak finds himself in the land of Plishtim, and he's hated and he is despised. And the Rebbe Shem tells him, Al Tira, don't be afraid. The Rebbe Shem knows what he's frightened of. What we have to find out is, what's Yaakov Avinu frightened about here? What is his fear? We would have assumed that the emotion that is consuming him is an emotion of great joy. He's going to see the son whom he thought was lost, and 22 years have passed. He'd been in mourning for 22 years. There's nothing greater that can happen to him now than being reunited with his son. So what's he afraid of? What's troubling him? What's bothering him? But obviously something is, and therefore the Rebbe Shem tells him, Al Tira Midodom Etzchaima, don't be afraid of going down to Egypt, Kilegoy Godol Asim Choshom, because I'm going to turn you into a great people there. Onochi Eidim Chom Etzchaima, I'm going to go down with you to Egypt. Onochi Al Chogam Olo, and I'm also going to go up with you out of Egypt. Yosef Yashis Yodoa Ali Necho, Yosef is going to place his hand upon your eyes. He is going to take care of you. So there is the Mefarshim have different approaches to what it was that was troubling Yaakov, and we'll see a number of them. First, we have the Rashi in number 4, the Rashi that's underlined. Al Tira Midodom Etzchaima, don't be afraid of going down to Egypt. Lifi Shohayon Meitzar Al Sheniskak Latzeit L'Chutzaretz, because he was troubled that he has to go out to Chutzaretz. You understand? You think that we go off on trips to Chutz Laretz with joy and ease? It's difficult to go off to Chutz Laretz. Turn over for a minute. Number 6. The end of the first line. Pirkei d'Rav Elazar. Shoma Yaakov al Yosef Shuhucha. Yaakov heard about Yosef that he's alive. Vahoyoma had heir b'libo v'amar. He thought in his heart and he said, Eich ezov eretz avosai ves eretz moladeti, that eretz sheshchinato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu betocha. How can I leave the land of my fathers, the land of my birthplace, the land where the divine presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his midst, the Elechel Eretz Bnei Cham, and go to the land of Bnei Cham, Be'eretz She'en Yirat Shamayim Bnei'em, in a land where there is no Yirat Shamayim. You understand? You hear what's going through Yaakov Avinu's mind? Do you understand what kind of mixed emotions, what mixed, but both are very powerful? His feeling that he wants to see Yosef, powerful. And as powerful, or maybe more powerful, certainly more powerful, is his fear and trepidation of leaving Eretz Yisrael. So the Medrash over here is talking about that part of the coin. To leave the land of his fathers, to leave the land of his birthplace, to leave the land where the divine presence is there. Maybe I'll read the next few lines. I took this medrash out of a sefer called Chemdat Hayamim by Rabbi Yaakov Filber, and he makes a comment on this medrash. Lefamim atan nidham. There are times at which one is simply nidham. How do you say that in English? Amazed? Astounded. Good. I like that. Astounded. With what joy good Jews live in Galus, Yeshivat Keva, Ola Menucha Vahavra'a, either permanently being there, or enjoy yourself in the Caribbean, Vilu Avinu Yaakov, Lamrod Shebenohu Ashalet Vuamashbir Avinu Yaakov, despite the fact that his son is the ruler and he is the one who is providing for the whole world. Shemuftach lo b'mitzchayim meitav atnayim akal kaliyim.
he is a guaranteed there that he's going to have economic bounty. Uberes Yisrael soredet patsoret and Eretz Yisrael is famine. V'chol zeh eino nogeh lulipo. That doesn't make any difference to him. Hu chored mifnei tumas chutz oretz. He trembles before the tumas chutz oretz. That's one approach. And we will see it develop. There's obviously something else that he's afraid of. What he's afraid of, and this is the other side of the coin, he's afraid of what may happen to his children in that land. What's going to happen to the Eneglach? What's going to happen to the great-grandchildren? What's going to happen? He doesn't know how long he's going to be there, even though we're going to see, of course, that as he journeys to Beersheba, his intention is, Eilech ve'er'enu, I'm going to go see him before I die. But he plans on coming back. In this great vision where God tells him, don't be afraid of going down to Egypt, you know what he's also being told, or he understands this? That he's gone for good. He is not going to turn around and come back. And Rashi points that out. Rashi says, Onochi alcha, I'm going to bring you up. All that God is promising him is, he promises him that he's going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. He does not promise him that he is going to return alive. I don't know, I'm not sure exactly how Rashi knows it from Anochi Alcha, unless, of course, you know, he's saying, you know, we're going to bring you back. You're not going to come back on your own, walking on your own two feet. We're going to bring you back. So that means now he finds out something that he didn't know before. He thought that his journey was going to be a temporary journey to Mitzrayim. He's going to visit his son, spend some time over there, and he's going to turn around and come back to Eretz Yisrael. But no. He's being told now, this is it. You're on your way down there. And most probably what he becomes aware of now, he knows of the Brit Bein HaBetachim, he knows about the covenant that God made with Avram between the pieces, the covenant that says that your children are going to be strangers in a land that's not theirs. He knows all of that. And now he's being told that this is it. This is the moment where the payoff is coming now. You're the one. So he's terrified not only of his own going down, leaving Eretz Yisrael, going to Chutz Laaretz, but he's terrified what's going to happen to his children in Chutz Laaretz. Let's go over to that other side. Why does he go to Beersheba? It seems it's planned. You know how I'm going to explain it? I think it's the minhag of many people, if they at all can, before you go to Chutz Laaretz, you go to the Kotel. You come back from Chutz Laaretz, you go to the Kotel. In Yiddish, they describe it as Megeitzer Gezegenin Mitten Kotel. Do I have to translate that? The gates of Gezegen in Mitten Keisel. And then you come back, you say, all right. Yaakov Avinu's Kotel is Beersheba. And who makes this comment? This comment is made in number 8. It's Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Was Rav in Toronto. And then, of course, Rav Shiva of Torah V'Das. So he says, number 8, Masha Otzar Yaakov Be'er Sheva. Why did Yaakov stop off in Be'er Sheva B'dar Kolom Etzrayim? Be'arati B'chidushi Le'el, the Parshas told us, I explained, She'Be'er Sheva Haitam Mekom Menuchatam V'nechamatam Shel Ha'avod Be'it Saratam. The place where they rested, and we're not talking about We're not talking about their vacation place. We're not talking about that.
place of consolation was of the Avos at the time of Tzohar was in Beersheva. V'hainu, you know why? Ah, he says, Mikivan Shavrom Avinu not Arozin Beersheva, Vishvil Binyan Ameshkan. Avram planted cedar trees around Beersheva that would ultimately be used for the construction of the Mishkan. Nitkadesh Hamakom, the place became holy. V'nihyek mekor nechama la'avota became a source of consolation to the fathers. Shalatid yetzu mehagalut v'yivnu et ha-mishkan. They looked, Avraham Avinu, Yitzhak, Yaakov, they looked at those cedar trees, and those cedar trees told them two things. Number one, your children are going to go into exile, but you should know they're going to come back. And on the way, they're going to build a Mishkan. And these cedar trees are going to be used in the construction of that Mishkan. In a sense, I would take it one step further. The cedar trees that are planted in Beersheva are the Mishkan. That's the place of the divine presence. It's the Kotel. Before the Kotel was built, this was step one in the Kotel. Step two is when those cedar trees were used in order to build the Mishkan. And the third step was going to be when a Beit HaMikdash was going to be built in Yerushalayim, there would be a wall of the Kotel that would remain. What? The Avos were buried. He's coming from Chevron. The choice of Beersheva, well, first of all, it says earlier, after Yitzhak Avinu had the difficulties with the Plishtim, the first well, the second well, the third well, and it says after it's all over, Vaya'al Misham Beersheva, he went up from there to Beersheva. Why Avraham chose Beersheva? I don't know, but he chose it. He chose it. There are different cities for different purposes. One is a burial place. One is a place where one plants. Yerushalayim is a place where one builds. Shechem is a place where Jews will rise to greatness. I mean, it's not a one, you know, there's not only Tel Aviv, there's also Yerushalayim. I imagine that he understood. There he planted his orchard, or he made his hotel to which people were going to come. Is it possible because Beersheva was a stop-off point on the Derech Ha'avot that took people from Egypt all the way through Mesopotamia? And on that crossroads that is Beersheva, the watering holes of the desert were in Beersheva. Thousands of people went through Beersheva. That's where he wanted to establish his presence. I mean, I can make a whole... I'll shear up on just the significance of Beersheva. It may be Chevron is of significance to us as a people personally. But the hand that we extend to the world in the days of Avraham was Beersheva. That was not bad, you know, making that up on the spot was not bad. You can do a little better, too. Yeah. Yes?
Isn't that where Avram lived? Because after the Akedah, you know, when Daniel was dying every morning, at the end it says that the two of them...
They lived in both places. They lived in Chevron and they lived in Beersheva. And by the way, not only did they live in two places, we had a lot of great people that lived in two places. I'm not going to take you to all of the Rebbes who live in Yerushalayim that have a place in Bnei Brak and another one in Haifa and some even in Schweiz. I'm not going to go that far. But Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wintered in Tveria and summered in Tzipori. And Tzipori is there. It's on the top of a mountain. It's, don't tell anybody, this is just between us. It's my favorite place. I get away there for a day or two. Not get away from you, just, you know, get away from it all. And I can every time I go there, I can understand why Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wrote the Mishnah. That magnum opus of the Jewish people, the Mishnah was written. The air is crystal clear, perched on a mountaintop. The Gemara says it's called Tzipori because it's like a bird perched on the top, looking around all over. Tzipori also was an extremely important place from a strategic point of view. From Tzipori, you were able to see for miles around. You can see it today for miles around. So he lived in Tzipori in the summer, and it's cool. In Tzipori, it's cool. And then when it gets a little cold in Tzipori, like now, then you go down to Tveria. You go down to Tveria. But over here by the Ovos, it was much more than that. I see Chevron. By the way, Chevron has a relationship to Yerushalayim. There's a Kedusha, a personal Kedusha of Chevron Yerushalayim. Be'er Sheva, I always have this feeling. Be'er Sheva was the Avraham Avinu opening himself up to the world, or extending his hand to the world. I'm sure I'll find somebody who says, anybody who says that Be'er Sheva was a... I decided myself. There were wells there. Avraham dug wells there. That was the place. It was like an oasis. Be'er Sheva was like an oasis. People would go through there on their way. Anyway, Vaita, we have so much to say. It was never considered as one of the holy cities. But I'll tell you the truth, I have a little problem with the holy cities in general. The four holy cities, I have difficulty with it. Because what I have difficulty with is there a city in Eretz Yisrael that's not holy? Vos Retman. Are we to assume that the Shekhinah is more in Tzvat than it is in Bnei Brak or in Kfar Saba? Or I always had difficulty. If anybody can find out for me who created the four holy cities, was it the tour guides or I don't know. But we know, of course, that the Gedolei HaKabbalah went, the Arizal went to Tzvat, and I think that's what made it a holy city. Rav Shlomo Alkavitz lived there; that made it a holy city. Tveria is also what? Tveria, Yerushalayim, Chevron, Tveria, and Tzvat. Tveria, during the period of the Tanoim, Tveria was the place where the Gedolei HaTanoim. We're talking about giants that lived in Tveria. Yes. Why did Kalev and Yosef? No, Yosef left from Chevron. Yosef goes from Chevron to Shechem.
Yeah, but he stops off Chevron
before he goes to his brother, right? No. It says over there that when Yaakov calls him and says, L'chovesh, L'chacho, I'm going to send you to see how are your brothers, it says, V'yishlochehu, he sent him, Me'emek Chevron, from the valley of Chevron. So Rashi there asks the question, but Chevron is perched on a mountaintop. Chevron is not in a valley. So Rashi says, Me'etzo amuka, from the depth of the counsel of God. Then when he leaves Chevron, what's happening is the beginning of Jews going down to Egypt. I got two more things that I have to do over here. So there, V'lachein Yitzchak, Acha Shegirsha Avimelech, Yitzchak after Avimelech, cast him out, Holach Le'Be'er Sheva, U'bono Sham Yizbeach, he builds him his Be'ach there. V'gam Yaakov. Yaakov, now, before he enters Golos, he goes to Be'er Sheva in order to find consolation there. Sh'ochein Yetzu B'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. You hear what he says? He wants to be assured that Jews are going to leave Mitzrayim. Therefore, he brings sacrifices to Elokei of Yitzchak, the God of his father Yitzchak. Menei Yitzchak bono shal mizbeach, because Yitzchak built a mizbeach there. V'lachein nikroim ha-korbonos ha-shmo she Yitzchak, ki hu ha-bone u-be-kavanato. Uh, I want to see if I can take you through number 7. It looks formidable, doesn't it? It looks formidable. 7 is taken from the Haggadah Leil Shimurim. The Haggadah Leil Shimurim is my favorite Haggadah. It was written by the Oroch HaShulchan, Rabbi Yechiel Michel HaLevi Epstein, who was the Rav of Nevardik, and to many he is known as the father of the Baal Torah Tamima, the father of the one who wrote the Torah Tamima, Baruch HaLevi Epstein. The Oroch HaShulchan was a... What a giant. He says, Kishenigdagdek, and this I saw many, many years after I had originally stopped on that Rashi at the beginning of the... at the beginning of the Shir, the Rashi of Eretz Yisrael Gavor Mikol HaRatzot, many years later I saw this. Kishenigdagdek, the Parashas Mikesu Vayigash, Ksiv al Mitzrayim, we look carefully in Parashat Mikesu Vayigash, with regard to Mitzrayim, it always says, Yeridah, going down. Redu Shama, Vayerdo Ache Yosef, Nerdo, let's go down, we're going to buy food there. Im lo yedar achiche makotan etchen, if your little brother is not going to come down with you. Lo nuchal oredet, they tell their father, we cannot go down. Redo Eli al tamod, Yosef sends the message to his father, come down to me, don't wait. Umi hartem vahoradetem et aviheno, you should hurry and bring my father down. Omnom be'etzem bi'atam, the moment when it begins to talk later in this Sedra, partial later, right here in this Sedra, when it starts talking about Jews arriving in Egypt, different terminology is used, different ve'ela, uksiv, omnam, be'etzem bi'atam l'sham, nifsika l'shom yirida. When we're talking about their coming, the term going down ends, and what's used is Lishon Bia coming by Yavo Mitzrayma, Hevi Ito Mitzrayma, Ve'ele Shmod B'nei Yisrael Haboi Mitzrayma, Kol HaNefesh Habo'o LeYakov Mitzrayma, Kol HaNefesh Habo'o LeBeit Yaakov. And also the beginning of Sefer Shmot, what's the first pasuk in Sefer Shmot? Ve'ele Shmot B'nei Yisrael Haboi Mitzrayma, Eit Yaakov with Yaakov Ish Ubeito Bau. Ubepshuto, simply the reason is, because Eretz Yisrael is Gevor Mikol HaAratzos. Eretz Yisrael is higher than all of the lands. Therefore, Hanosim Imen Olishari Aratzos, whoever travels from Eretz Yisrael to other lands, it always says Yerida. Ubeknisatam, Ktiv Lashon Bia. In other words, the journey to is a journey of Yerida going down. But once you're down, then you come in. Ubeknisatam, as they enter, it says Lashon Bia. Amnam, he wants to say another pshat. Yeshlom Alpim, Amor HaMazal, we can say according to that which our Rebbe said. The Chazal said, Roy Hoye Yaakov Vinu Lady L'mitzchayim B'shal Shiloh Yishol Basel. Elish Zchuto Garmalo. The Gemara says, by right, Mitzrayim is not going to be a pleasant experience for the Jewish people. Yaakov should have been taken down to Mitzrayim in chains of metal. But because of his great schus, he is Yaakov Avinu, he comes to Mitzrayim with great covet, with great honor and glory. But in the longer view of things, that was only something of a very temporary nature. This is not, in the short run, and even in the longer run, it's not going to be a good experience for the Jewish people. Except, of course, we've talked about it in the past, that maybe we'll get back to it. In its ultimate sense, it was going to be the experience that was going to forge and form a Jewish people. They were going to be created in the crucible of Egypt. As the Rav of Soloveitchik says, Klal Yisrael had to come face to face with evil. Because only when you come face to face with absolute evil are you able to fully comprehend the difference between good and evil. Only when you see cruelty and brutality can you learn to rise above it. It's amazing. I shouldn't say this and I shouldn't go off onto tangents. We're facing cruelty and brutality, terrorism of global proportions. And a lot of our people don't get it. It's unbelievable. They don't get it. End of sentence. I'm controlling myself. All right? The Chof said, just like, you know, you reach a certain stage, even before that, if you want to appreciate colors, you have to see two colors lined up against one another. Then you reach a certain stage when you can't tell the difference between black and blue nose. All right, that's it. Sebaim Hagil, that comes with age. All right. But if you want to truly appreciate colors, you have to see the contrasts. So too, the Chof said, Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim were going to be kishoshana bein hachochim, like a rose amongst the thorns. Can you imagine the beauty of the rose with the backdrop of the thorns, the ugliness of the thorns and the beauty of the rose? One rose grows amongst your thorns, you understand? It's superb beauty. Klal Yisrael needed the Mitzrayim experience because the Mitzrayim experience was going to make of them a people of kindness and goodness. It was going to prepare them for Kabbalah Satorah, receiving Torah. So he says, back to the Leil Shimurim, Yaakov Avinu should have been taken down to Mitzrayim in chains, because he's not gone on a vacation. This is going to be the beginning of an extremely difficult experience in Jewish history. V'yesh l'farish b'zeh, he says, very nice pshat in that pasuk at the beginning of Shmos. We can explain, Ve'ele Shmot b'nei Yisrael ha'boy Mitzrayim, these are the names of the children of Israel that came to Egypt, Es Yaakov ish u'beiso, bo. With Yaakov, each man and his family came. So he says, you know what that pasuk is telling us? The kineshi Yaakov hayoroi leide b'shol shaloi shtopazit, because Yaakov should have been brought down in chains, kalvachomisha bonav hayoriyom ezeh. Certainly his children should have come down in chains. V'zeh shalo, why weren't they brought down in chains? Amru Chazal, Yaakov hu bonav, and his children, their zechut was not enough levatel gzeirazu to rescind this decree of coming down in chains. Rag zechuto shel Yaakov ha'olehem. It was only the zechus of Yaakov. The zeir shomer. That's why it says ve'elishmod b'nei Yisrael ha'boy mitzchaima. Thanks. So now you're going to ask, how did they all come with such great honor? So you know why? Because eight Yaakov. They came with Yaakov. Because they came with Yaakov, therefore all of them came in a completely different manner. V'lachein ish u'beito ba'u b'kavod. Each man and his family came in honor. V'lo b'shal shalo shal bazel, and not with chains. V'lachein kodem bi'atam le'mitzrayim. Before they come to Egypt, it says l'shon yerida, because yerida represents the original decree that they're gonna go down. But as they come, it changes to Lashon Bia coming. And that's the schus of Yaakov Avinu. That the journey isn't a journey all the way down. When they get to Mitzrayim, their entry is going to be Bia. Lufizeh, just this last paragraph, we're going to make it. Lufizeh yesh lishol, mashamal HaKadosh Baruch Hu altira meidam Mitzrayima. God tells him over here in this vision at Beersheba, don't be afraid of going down to Egypt. I'm going to go down with you. I'm going to go up with you. Why does God, if God is going with him to Egypt, that means the gezerah, that the decree that he has to go in chains, is no longer operative. So why does it say over there, Anochi Eireid Imcha, I'm going to go down with you? So he says, this is the main point that he wants to make. there's a physical going down. And then there's a spiritual going down. All that Yaakov Avinu is spared is that he's not going to be taken into Egypt in chains. But is he terrified of what might happen to his children during that period? Watch. Omnom ha'emetu, the truth is that even though in Gashmius, in the physical realm, it was not a coming down, because he came to Kavod Gadol with great honor, al pi bakoshas paro, he's invited in by Paro, as the Pasuk says. However, spiritually, Yada Yaakovinu, Yaakovinu knew, Shiyadid Gedola Hilo, this is, for him, this is going to be a great coming down. And he was frightened to travel to Egypt. Therefore, the Rebbein Shem told him, Al tira migdom etzchaima, Kepirish Rashi Shom, V'lachen kishin esvada shiyosef b'no chai oma elcha v'adena b'terem omas shalorotza lakot lirotov v'lashuv tegumyan. He really wants to go down just to see him and come back immediately. So the Rebbein Shem tells him here in Be'er Sheva, okay, it's not so. Ki kvar nigzera hagzeira miyiridas Mitzrayim, the decree of going down to Egypt has already been passed and ready. V'al tira anochi eidim cho Mitzrayim v'anochi elcha Gam Olo. That means I am going to guarantee that your children are going to remain Jews. There will be a Klal Yisrael. And that's why it says in the Haggadah, Vayeded Mitzrayim, he went down to Egypt. Did it ever bother you? Vayeded Mitzrayim, he went down to Egypt. The Haggadah says, Onus al pi hadibur. He was coerced by God's word to go down. What do you mean he was coerced? He said in the Pasuk, El Chaved Eno, I'm going to go see him before I die. Yaakov Avinu was coerced to go down to Egypt. He's not coerced. What did the Baal HaGadah mean? Ubiudo, you know what the Baal HaGadah is saying? Shemedagde kalo kvar hufsak loshin yerida. Shehadei bo bekovod lemitzrayim. We're not talking about him going down anymore. We're talking about him coming to great honor. Elosh Yaakov Gamzelo Ratza. Yaakov didn't even want that. Mitnesha Beruchni is Yadida Hilo, because spiritually it's Yadida Vele Ratza Raklid Ota Chosei Falachzor. Elosh Yehoya Onos Alpidi Burei Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. He's forced by the Rebbein Shem that he's going to have to remain there. The Onos Alpidi Burei, he is coerced, does not refer to his going down to Egypt. It's talking about the fact that the plans that he has are not the plans of God. He thinks that he's going to see Yosef and he's going to return, but he's not going to return. As Rashi says, he's going to be buried there, and God promises him that. I'm going to go down with you and I'm going to go up with you. Happens, of course, to be also a guarantee and a promise that the Rebbein Shem makes to Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says throughout history, Kol Makom Shegalu, wherever Jews went into exile, Shechina Imahem, the Divine Presence is with them. And when they come back to Eretz Yisrael, the Divine Presence comes back with them. So here we took you from Eretz Yisrael, Govar, Mikol Arotzos. And by the way, there's a famous medrash, I'll just say it quickly. Moshe begs to go into Eretz Yisrael, and God says no. So he says, Atzmos Yosef nichnasin la'aretz, the bones of Yosef are going into Eretz Yisrael, v'ani eini nichnas, and I don't go in. This is and who's the one who is taking Yosef's bones from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael? It's Moshe Rabbeinu. His bones. So the Rebbein Shem says, what a sharp comment God makes to Moshe. Yosef shahoda ba'aretzo v'lokofa bi'aretzo. Yosef, upon whom you could clearly see that he was, I was going to say an Israeli, not that he was an Ish Eretz Yisrael, because how did they describe him? Nar Ivri, a Hebrew boy. But you they called Ish Mitzri. The daughters of Yisrael called him Ish Mitzri. You are not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. I can't end with that. I can't end with that, but that's the promise. I'm going to go down with you. Okay.
tribes of Sheva, but they could be told he'd get the same as Yitzchak got.
He thought what?
He'd get the same as Yitzchak got from my college 12 years. Don't go school bar. He thought that if he went there, he might get the same advice.
By the way, that's also true. He doesn't know whether he's allowed to go. That's right. He doesn't know if he's allowed to go.
That's why I made this bet as well, hoping he'd get some answer.
Alex, well, I'm sure quote to you. The quote on Galon.
Yes. And the father will see him at the Baron Strasser. Very good. Very good. Thank you very much.